to thank you. We're going to thank you for how good you are to us, Lord. You've blessed us beyond imagination. You've provided, you've protected, you have forgiven. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here as always this morning and to hear the testimonies of those who have stepped out in faith and found you faithful. Lord, we ask your blessing on the remaining few moments of our time gathered here together this morning, that you might speak to each and every one of us, that you might impress upon our hearts the message that you have for us to hear, that it might bless our families, our community, our church, and this world to the good of your kingdom and the glory of your name. For it is in the name of Jesus, as always, we gather. It's in the name of Jesus that we praise. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. We could go home right now and we've had a good one already. I like that. I like it when the pressure's off. We've been talking about relationships for a few weeks. We've got a couple more topics to cover on that. As we take a look at relationships, having healthy ones in a dysfunctional world. God wants us to have good relationships. He wants us to have a good relationship with Him and with each other, and one leads to the other as often as not. A good relationship with the Lord leads to good relationships in our homes and families. A good relationship with people around us and loved ones leads to a good relationship with the Lord. And so it's a great benefit to each and every one of us, and certainly to our children and grandchildren as well. I invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to take a look at a few verses here this morning from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Give you just a second to get there. Philippians 2, verse 1 begins. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Relationships, listen to me, relationships struggle. They're hard. We live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. We live in an unfortunate world sometimes. But listen to me, relationships, and whether it's a marriage relationship or a parent-child relationship, the guy across the street, your boss at work, whatever the case may be, relationships struggle because of selfishness and self-centeredness. It's part of the human condition. It's just something we're afflicted with, okay? Relationships struggle because of selfishness and self-centeredness. We live in a what's in it for me world, do we not? Okay? Around every corner. That's just the nature of our society. We live in a what's in it for me kind of a world in this day and age. And it was no different in Jesus' time. They just had less television to accelerate it. At any rate, as we live in this what's in it for me world, Jesus gives us the example of that we should follow, as always, and Paul talks about it just a little bit, about how to, he says, in your attitude, be the same as that of Christ Jesus, all right? This is talking about relationships. who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. You see, Jesus did not exalt himself, all right? Even though he certainly was worthy of being exalted and should be now, he did not do it to or for himself as an example to you and I. Paul goes on to write, but made himself nothing, okay? Jesus did not pursue personal benefit in his relationships. He was out to not for himself. And then he goes on to say, taking the very nature of a servant. See, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. He said, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. And then Paul winds up that sentence saying, being made in human likeness. We've said that Jesus did not exalt himself. He did not pursue personal benefit in his relationships. And he served others, didn't look to be served himself. And he says, being made in human likeness. Do you know what that phrase, human likeness, means? Okay, that means humans. All right, if you are a human, all right, that's us, okay? Humans, all right, we are supposed to follow his example in these things, in not exalting self, in not pursuing personal benefit, and in serving others. We are to be servants, all right? He goes on to tell us a little bit later in this particular chapter of Philippians, chapter 2, that it's of great benefit to us, that we'll receive tremendous blessing at the hand of God if we will ascribe to and live out this mindset, this lifestyle. A lot of blessings will come to it, all right, and from it. So Jesus takes the form of a servant, and we are too. What exactly is a servant? Let's put the question on the table. What does a servant do? All right, and a couple of things a servant does. Does a servant do what the does the server do what the servee wants? All right? Is that what a servant does? Does the server do what the servee wants? Not necessarily. If I go to for lunch, if I go to Ruby Tuesdays to get some lunch and I tell the server, he or she comes to my table, and I say, I'm here because you got the best salad bar in town and I want a salad from Ruby Tuesdays, right? And then I came here to get that, but I want you to get me a hamburger from Chili's, okay? It's just right down the road here. It's just a couple doors down. I want you to run down to Chili's and get me a hamburger from there to go with my salad from here. He's probably, or she is probably, not going to help me out on that. Can we all agree on that? They're not going to do that, all right? So a server doesn't necessarily do whatever the servee wants. They're going to do whatever they can within their skill set and whatever's available to them, maybe. They're going to be willing to bring me what they're able to, what's available to them, whatever they're able to do, given their resources and abilities. But that's not always going to be exactly what the servee wants. Here's the second part of that. Does a server do what the server wants? Okay, that's where we fall prey sometimes. We think, well, I'll do what I want to do. I'll be willing to help where I want to help. I'll be willing to contribute where I like to, and that sort of thing. And that, too, does not follow the guise or the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we remember back to the night he was arrested once again in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying to the Father, he said, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can be taken from me, please, let's do that. In other words, if there's another way that we can handle the sin of the world without me having to be forsaken by all my friends, cast out by my loved ones, beaten physically and killed, not to mention separated from you, my Father. If there's any way we can do that, then I'm all for it. But then he went on to say, but not my will, but yours. See, in the flesh at that moment, Jesus didn't really want to go through with that. But in the Spirit, he was willing. So a servant doesn't just do what the servant wants either. What if a servant doesn't do what the servee wants, and the servant doesn't do what the server wants, what exactly is it that a servant is supposed to do? All right? A servant meets a need. A servant does what is needed, just like Jesus. You know what we needed? We needed somebody to go to the cross for us. Amen? All right, we needed somebody to save us from our own sins so we don't have to go. Do y'all wear that? All right, do y'all understand the magnitude of that? How much you need for Jesus to have went to the cross for you? That's what a servant does. What is needed, all right? Can I tell you this morning, that there's absolutely no shortage of need in this world. There is no shortage of need in this church. There's no shortage of need in this community. And a servant does what is needed. As we ascribe this to relationships, if I'm to serve my friends and my loved one and my families, the question needs to come, what does my friend, my loved one, what do they need? What is it that they need? Why do we go to a place like New York, drive 10 hours in all that traffic, and get on the wrong subway 3 times an hour, and we've been 6 or 7 times now, and it happens every single time? You'd think we'd figure it out, wouldn't you? Okay? You'd think we'd figure that out. Why do we go through all that trouble? Listen to me. Because they need us. All right? They need what we can do. And we can do what they need. We do all that because there's a need. All right? Can I tell you this morning that there is a very real need for nursery help in this church? A very real need. And that's what a servant does. What is needed? Listen to me, everybody. Listen. Are you blessed by God? Has God been good to you? Has God given you more than you deserve? Does His grace and mercy, does His blessing, does His goodness just overflow in your life? Can I tell you, it does, whether you realize it or not. If you're sitting here this morning, God's blessings is just absolutely overflowing on you. Why would God bless me so much that it's just pouring out the top? Why would God be so good to me that it's coming out every crevice in me? Why would God be so good that I can't possibly contain all the blessings that He pours out on my life? Why? Is it because I deserve it? No. Is it because I've earned it? No. It's because He's that good. But listen to me, God pours so much blessing on your life that your life can't contain it all, so that you will give blessing out of that overflow to somebody else. Somebody say amen. That's what being a servant is about. Finding what is needed. It reminds me of Job a little bit. Because sometimes we complicate it. Sometimes we make it into something, well, I don't even know what to do. Remember Job? He had a rough week. He had a rough day. All right? He lost everything that he owned. He lost everybody that he loved. Even his wife was saying, won't you just give up, curse God, and die. Job was having a rough time. And then the Bible tells us that Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, his three best friends, they got up and they went to meet with Job, and they saw him from a distance, and he was sitting down on the ground outside crying. And they came up to him, and all they did was just sit down and be with him, and just, they didn't say a word for 7 days and 7 nights. The Bible says they were just there. They were just there. He just needed somebody to be there with him. And that's all they did. Okay? Nothing complicated, nothing hard, nothing difficult about that. They just did what they could. They just met the need that he had. He was having a rough day, and they were there for him. We've all had rough days. Raise your hand if you've had a hard day. Not today, just any time. All right? Some of you lying, you didn't raise your hand. All right? Almost had a bad day Friday. Averted it, but we were having some kind of spaghetti thing, tortellini, whatever, all right, Italian stuff with red sauce. And we all three sat down at the table, and because Ava had on a fairly new shirt and there's all this red sauce, her mama said, no, we're not eating that, you know, this meal in that shirt, because the two will come and together and become one, all right? And so she took her shirt off and she sat her at the table at her plate, and she began eating. And of course, she's shirtless now, and she is doing really good at putting together sentences and phrases and pointing out comparisons and all that, and things you see little kids growing and doing. And she said, Ava has a belly. And then she pointed at her mama and she says, Mama has a belly. And then she pointed at me and she said, Daddy has a, and she paused and I said, abs. And her mama turned to me and said, if you go teaching her to say that Ava has a belly and Mama has a belly and Daddy has abs, you in trouble. Okay. All right. Warning taken. So I averted a bad day because I didn't go through with teaching my daughter to say that. Now, listen to me. I might have a bad day today, having shared that with all of you. If you want to do me a favor and do what I need, let's not share it again, all right? Literally came across my desk this week. Recent studies show that, and this is not about my wife. Recent studies show that women who carry extra weight live longer than men who mention it. That's a direct quote. All right? Listen to me. Everybody has bad days. Remember that. Okay? Remember that when you run across somebody who's being a little rude or a little cranky or not doing what it is we think that we should be done or not serving us the way we think we should be served. Instead of being offended, okay, think about for a minute where they might be coming from. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you and I have a bad day and we mess up and we don't say the things we should or be the way that we should, we want people to understand. We want people to show us some slack, to give us some patience, all right? So let's do that for others, amen, all right? Oftentimes, that person who's having a bad day, that's what they need is some patience and some love. Can I tell you that somebody who is mean, listen, a mean person has a need. Somebody who's being mean has a need in their heart, in their mind, in their life, in their person. Someone who is being rude for no good reason, if they're being rude to you, they have a need in their heart, in their life, in their person. Somebody who's just altogether not nice has a need. They need God's love. They need to know Him. Because there's no reason to be any of that if you know God. We went to Brooklyn because they needed it. We're going to have VBS because there's a need. Kids need to hear about God's love. They need to see it in action. All right? The nursery kids need somebody to just, like Job, just be with them. Nothing complicated. All right? Nothing all that complex. Just remember how people have a need. Remember that about others. Many of you know I was in the textile industry for a few years, and early on in my career, I was working in one particular plant, and some of us had to go to another plant to run some trials, do some investigation about some quality things, and it's a building that no longer stands, obviously, as most of them don't. It was called North Carolina Finishing, and it was down around the south side of Salisbury, Spencer, right along in there, and it was the first week in August, and we went to this particular plant to stay all day long. It was the first week in August, and as you can imagine, the weather was much like it has been this week, the early part of this week. It was some kind of hot. And I'll tell you what it was like in this particular textile plant. It's 95 degrees outside, and at lunchtime, I'm talking 12:30, middle of the day, heat of the day, when you went outside, you said, "Whoo, that feels good." That's what it was like inside there, all right? Brother, she was hot. She was steamy. It was rough in there. It was there all day long, and the particular boss there, the manager that was in there, was rough on me all day. You know, a young kid straight out of college coming around here thinking he's going to tell me what to do. And he talked rough to me all day long. He was a Polish guy. Wojciechowski was his name. We're great friends now. But he was rough on me all day. And so I went back the next day to my boss at where I work. And I was telling him about it. Man, you didn't believe that guy and just treat people like that. And my boss said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, "Grant, you need to walk a mile in his shoes before you're too critical about how he acts. You don't know what he goes through on a daily basis. You got it made, brother." And that's really stuck with me. All right? So when someone's being rough on us, let's remember that that is the indication of a need in their heart. Let us remember that. All we need to do is surrender. I'm gonna say something to everybody here. This will apply to some more than others. It'll apply to both young and old alike. But all we need to do is be there for friends and loved ones and give them what they need. All right? And so as a friend, I just want to make some statements here this morning. We'll close like this. Is everything in your life, is every relationship in your life, is your spiritual walk, is your professional life, is your financial life, is your marriage, is your home, is everything just as it should be? Or for some of us, do we know that, you know what? I understand the promises of God. I understand the power of God. I understand the will of God. And I know that there is some disconnect between where I am right now and what Jesus talked about. That I'm missing out on, He said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. And maybe my schedule's full, but my life's not. Is everything as it should be, or is there something that we know deep down in our heart that's just not quite right? If there is, the answer is simply to surrender. Whatever that part of your life is, whatever you are, wherever you are, just stop trying and start following. It's as simple as that. And if we'll quit peddling as hard as we can and just turn to Him and say, Lord, I've had enough of trying to do this. It's all about You from now on, okay? He can and will bring power into your life. Can I tell you, we all know we've sinned. We all know we're not perfect. We all know every bit of that. Listen, God knows that too. He wants to take care of that for you along with everything else. He wants to remove the guilt from your life. He wants to remove the pain, the uneasiness, the loneliness, the listlessness, the lostness from your life. He is ready, willing, and able to forgive you of all your mistakes. Listen to me, God is not an angry God who waits to punish you. He is a merciful God. A loving God, ready to forgive you and bless you and make everything new. That part that's not right, that thing that's not right, that relationship that's not right, He's ready to take over the reins and make a new creation out of that. Maybe you know in your heart right now that everything's not as it should be. All right? Your kids, your marriage, your prayer life, your daily habits, whatever. All right? Surrender. Not to a sermon, not to religion, not to a preacher, not to a denomination, not to a tradition, all right? Not to anything but to God Almighty. Just surrender to Him. Surrender to God, to Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus was not a man who lived 2,000 years ago. He's a man who was God, who rose from the grave 2,000 years ago. And He can and He will bring that same power into your life today if you'll just surrender to Him. That same power. So if something's not right, what you need to know is that. I'm trying to serve you by telling you that. We're going to have an opportunity here in a few seconds to surrender to a God who loves us. And I hope you will. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise You for the example of Jesus. We praise You for the love of Jesus, the sacrifice, and the promise that if we're missing out on anything that He has to offer, all we need to do is bow down to Him and He'll pour it out on us. Lord, help us to be mindful of how good You are. That we can totally trust You with whatever we're holding back with. And finally, Lord, help us to be mindful that You have so blessed us so that we can in turn serve and bless others and see what life can truly be like when we're completely surrendered to Your way and Your will. Or if there be anyone in this room this morning, anybody who can hear the sound of my voice, who needs to surrender their life to you. Maybe they went to an altar call years ago and they said a prayer, but they know in their heart that things are not like they should be. I pray they'd take the opportunity to truly come and not just say a prayer, but to surrender to you, their loving Savior today, who stands waiting in love and power to give them all that you have. We're going to praise you for what's to come. We know it's good because it's of you, and you truly are the best. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.